Amen. We have been privileged to be invited to his, what shall I call it, celebration of his 50th wedding anniversary and 70th birthday coming up on the 10th of October in Michigan. And I know a lot of preparation has gone into that, and I'm just happy that he's my friend and still likes me and still comes to our church and preaches the Word of God. I have referred to him many, many times in this pulpit when he hasn't been here, because he's a man who preaches and uses the Word of God. You know, he doesn't do card tricks, you know. He doesn't have this special ministry of anything else but just preaching the Word of God, and it ministers to us. And so for the 100th and whatever time, I bring to this pulpit Brother Jonathan Mackey.
Amen. 120. I just realized that. All right. So we're on our way to 100 and 200. Better make it quick. I'm 70 years old now. But it is good to be here in Apostolic Faith Church. And so many faithful saints of God here tonight. And, you know, God is faithful. To us, to me. Amen. You know, to be like Jesus. He's faithful. And again, it's just good to be in a service that's not a high pressure thing. You know, you just come in and sit at his feet a little while and love him and, you know, see what he wants to tell us. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful for this wonderful truth. Amen. This truth of repentance. Water baptism in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Receiving the Holy Ghost with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. Amen. I tell you, I never get tired of preaching it. Amen. Never get tired of quoting Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Amen. And, you know, it's just amazing how men can have so much knowledge, you know, really, I mean, clergymen, but really have no knowledge at all of what's really important and counts. So we're privileged tonight to be in an apostolic church. We are. And so we pray that what we have to say will be a blessing to you tonight. I'm not going to give you anything new, but I'm going to reinforce something that you're already doing. All right. So let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 36. The Vatican of Wisconsin. Now I can say I've preached at the Vatican, right? Oh yeah, I've preached at the Vatican. Yeah. I remember when I preached in Rome some years ago, and there was a man there that was getting a church started, and in fact the UPC missionary was really having difficulty getting things going in Rome, and so he met another apostolic pastor. So I said, Brother Mackey, he said, I've arranged it so you can preach in his church Sunday. I said, okay. Let's do it, you know. And this man maybe had about 35 people in his church, but he was renting a cathedral. I mean, that was really bigger than this building. Okay. All right, it had three platforms. It had a platform like this with about 8 chairs, and then there was another platform that had 3 chairs. And then you go up a few more steps, and there's another platform with just one chair. Just one chair. So you know, there's not that many people there, so I'm sitting on the front pew with Sister Mackie, and the pastor says, you know, the pastor says through the translator, he wants you to sit on the platform. I mean, no one else is up here. So I said, okay. So I went and sat on the first level with the six chairs. All right. And I'm looking at him on the front pew, and he's going like this. Okay. So I go up to the second tier, okay. And I'm sitting down. Sister Mackie's just laughing. And the man goes like this. And I went all the way to the top level and sat in that one throne. But I thought of that when you talked about the Vatican, Brother Schumacher. All right. I should have taken a picture of that, I guess. All right. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. So Elijah just simply said in verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Let's pray, shall we? Again, Jesus, thank you for the privilege of being in your house, God, and again looking at your word, because your word is more to be desired than gold, more than much fine gold. So God, again, help me to minister your word. Help us to receive it for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated this evening. Most people in the religious world today do not know of a God of power. They do not know of a powerful God. A God that rolled back the waters of the Red Sea, made the sun stand still. You know, a God who can pull out of the horrible pit and the miry clay, a God who can give power over any habit, I don't care what it is, over any kind of lifestyle. They don't know of that. And one of the reasons that they do not know of a God like that is because most churches in the religious world, in the denominational world, do not understand the power of prayer like the Apostolic Church does. And in my travels as an evangelist, I fear that even more and more apostolic churches do not understand the power of prayer. Amen. That God wants us to understand the power of prayer. In fact, this church right here is the one church I know of that has a consistent, constant prayer meeting on a Saturday morning. I know churches advertise, you know, maybe a morning prayer, but to really have where the congregation comes together and God's people as a body come together and really seek the face of God. Now in 1 Kings 18, Elijah said, hear me, O Lord, hear me. I'm so glad that the Lord hears us. The Bible talks about idols that have eyes that they cannot see and ears that they cannot hear, but ours is the living God. And he has eyes to see and ears to hear and a voice to speak. Amen. Now, communication has constantly been improving through the ages and the ends of time. I guess years ago, they used to use the old tom-tom, you know, drums, you know. And Indians, they said the American Indian used to use smoke signals. But, you know, and then there's the telegraph. You know, and then there's the telephone, and now we have texting. I mean, you can do everything by phone. You know, pretty soon, I mean, your watch is going to be a phone. You know, I guess it's already here, right? Okay. But communication with God has never been improved. Do you understand that? I mean, folks, men are God's method. Men are God's method. All right. And God is not looking for better ways to communicate with him. God's just looking for more men to communicate with him. Because men are God's method. So, but now how many here have ever heard of Ilgal, Palti, and Nabi? These famous Bible characters. Anybody here ever heard of those three famous men? They were three of the 12 tribes that went into Canaan to spy out the land. You know, boy, land flowing with milk and honey. But they come back and they're part of the 10 that said, we are like grasshoppers and they are like giants. We are not able to overcome them. They have walled cities. You know, when someone has no communication with God, they're not going to have any faith or any confidence in God. But here comes Joshua and Caleb and said, let's go up at once and possess the land. But because of men like Ilgal, Palti, and Nabi, folks, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, folks, because they had no faith and confidence in God. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 18, here's Elijah. Now, it lets us know in the Bible that Elijah was not special. He was a man of like passions, such as you and me. Like one old preacher said, he still put on his pants one leg at a time. You know, folks, I mean, there was nothing special about Elijah, except he did have communication with God. Now, the first church was a praying church. 28 chapters in the book of Acts. And there is prayer made in 24 of the 28 chapters. There's only 4 chapters where prayer is not made. And there is something about the first church that they understood the absolute necessity of prayer. Right. Now, the church where we're living in today, including apostolic faith, we have nicer buildings, folks, more music, sounder scholarship, more eloquent preaching, but nothing will ever take the place of communicating with God. Nothing. Nothing. And it seems like the first church knew the true meaning of the fact when God told them, without me, ye can do nothing. To understand, without him, we can do nothing. Every time I stand into the pulpit and I say, God, really, without you, I can do nothing. I can't do this without you. Now, 28 chapters, prayer made in 24. We talk about the day of Pentecost. Yes. But do you understand that they prayed for 10 days and preached one sermon? You know, most churches have 10 sermons and don't even pray for one day. Now, let's turn it in our Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. In our Bibles. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, why God didn't protect James, I don't know, but it happened. There was persecution. All right, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then those were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and defended him and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him. It took 16 soldiers to guard an apostolic preacher. All right. Intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So can you imagine, folks, what discouragement might have been in the church after James is killed, and now Peter, the church leader, has now been apprehended and put in prison? Peter's in prison. But I love verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but. I like that word, but. Sometimes I'm going to give a Bible study just on this word. You know, some seed fell on wayside ground, some on stony ground, some on thorny ground, but. Other seed fell into good ground. All right. Peter's in prison. James is dead. But you know what? The church did not despair. The church did not, you know, give in to their lack of faith. But it says Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And they're praying so earnestly that angels come, and Peter's actually taken out of prison, and he's knocking on the door of their prayer meeting. And this little girl answers the door and says, Peter's standing at the door. No, he's not. He's in prison, but he's at the door. But folks, you know what? There are so many times in our lives that situations come against us and there's circumstances that are so dire. The marriage is in trouble, but prayer was made. All right? The kids are backslidden, but prayer was made. There's a sickness in this body, but prayer was made. Amen. Amen. It seems like there's a falling away from God, but prayer was made. I want you to know, folks, there's no substitute for prayer. Whatever. No building, no music, no talent, no ability, no personality. Amen. But prayer was made. Now, prayer is actually as old as the human race. It is. When God created Adam and Eve, you know, he just implanted within them the desire and the ability to talk with him. The Bible lets us know in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8 that the voice of God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. Communication with God. So prayer, when someone says, what is prayer? In its simplest form, it's just man's innate instinct to talk to a deity, to talk to God. So prayer is the oldest and the most universal of all religious exercises. So whether people are praying to the true living God or whether they are praying to an idol of their own creation, it seems that man somehow understands, I cannot do this by myself. I need to have a higher power in my life to help him in his time of need. I mean, even the most godless people will shout out to God in a time of peril. They've never gone to church. They've never prayed. But I'll tell you, when they know there's danger, they're going to call out to God. There's a man by the name of Samuel Ziemer that has studied prayer of almost every civilization. And he reached this conclusion that there's no tribe or people, no matter how degraded or ignorant, that does not pray. Every civilization had some type of communication with a higher power. And different civilizations did it different ways. The ancient Egyptians, they would create a god and then they would bully their god. They'd say, tell that idol, if you don't answer this prayer right, I'm going to throw you away. They would, and they would throw him away and build another one. The Australian Aborigines, they would carry around the severed hand of a corpse, all right? And they would talk to that severed skeleton hand and say, guide me right or I'm going to throw you to the dogs. A lot of dogs had a lot of bones to eat. The Muslims prostrate themselves on a rug. Tibetans, Buddhists write their prayers on tiny flags and let them fly away. Catholics finger the rosary. Quakers sit in silence. Folks, no matter who it is or how they were, there was a desire in them to talk to God. So every civilization talks to God. But in this modern day in which we are living, it's amazing how Eastern religions still understand the necessity of having some kind of a communication with a deity, but yet God's true church sometimes doesn't. I tell you, folks, winds of wilderness have blown a lot of altars down. Amen. Prosperity has caused a lot of altars to decay. Man, we got the building, we got the talent, we got the ability, we got the music. Oh, yeah, boy. What does prayer have to do with it? If prayer isn't everything, then it's really not anything. Amen. Now, but sometimes the reason individuals don't like the actual work of part of praying is that it is spiritual work. Right. Now, we are living in a day where people don't like work at all, much less spiritual work. I mean, I cannot believe the work ethic of people that I see in stores. You know, I went to McDonald's one day for one of those health food meals, There's three teenagers. No one's else at the counter but me. There's three teenagers standing right there. You know, they all look at me and then just turn around and keep gabbing. I came in and the trash cans were overflowing, with trash. You know, can someone see that and empty it and do it? You know what their attitude is? Well, it's not my job. You know, one of these days I'm going to preach a message on where Peter told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist to the church. And you're going to say, well, it's not my job. No, it's your job. All right? Do the work of an evangelist. But people, we live in an age of entitlement, and it seems like people do as little as they can to get by on their job. So people don't like to work, much less spiritual work. I remember a couple years ago when our daughter was very ill and she was recovering in our home, I was driving my grandkids to school every morning, picking them up in the evening. And so my granddaughter Jillian is in the front seat, my grandson Jonathan is in the back seat, and Jonathan said, Grandpa, I need some money. I said, well, okay, well, listen, Grandpa's going to get a few little chores together, and you can come up to the house and help Grandpa get this work done, and you'll get some money. And know what he said at the age of 12? I don't want to work, Grandpa. I just want money. That's already in him, you know. There's just something about this flesh. But I want you to know, folks, prayer is spiritual work, and it's a very humbling work. Amen. Know what it does? It abases our intellect. You mean I have a high IQ? You mean I have my PhD? But I still need to bend my knee, bow my head, fold my hands, and close my eyes and talk to God. Yes! Prayer abases the intellect. Prayer crucifies the vainglory. You know? You mean I'm going to get down and pray, and when I get up again, the back of my pants, of my trousers are all wrinkled. Amen. You know, you can tell where I wipe my nose. My face is all swollen. And, folks, it crucifies the vainglory. I remember the first time I bought a pair of wingtip shoes. Yeah. You know, I'm getting to be grown up here now. Wingtip shoes. And I was in Beloit, Wisconsin, and my dad had an evangelist, and boy, God was speaking to my heart, and I ran to that altar, and I'm praying and seeking God, and I stand up and look at my wingtip shoes. I said, oh, no, there's a big crease right across the wingtip. It just bothered me. And then it should have bothered me. It bothered me, you know, but it didn't. And then besides that, it's prayer shows us our spiritual bankruptcy, that we can do nothing without God. Amen. Nothing without God. Amen. Now, how did Judas know where to find Jesus the night he betrayed him? Folks, so the Roman soldiers are looking everywhere for him. But Judas says, yeah, I know where he is. Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of John chapter 18. The Gospel of John chapter 18 in our Bibles. John chapter 18. All right, verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. This is not the first time Jesus went to the garden to pray. He had reported there oftentimes thither, and so therefore Judas knew where Jesus was going to be. So that's why Jesus is our example. The Bible says it was his custom to pray much. He spent entire nights in prayer. It's amazing how people can do a lot of things all night and they don't get sleepy, you know. And, Like one preacher said, you know, if you have trouble sleeping at night, don't count sheep, you know. Talk to the shepherd, you know. But, folks, if God knows our needs even before we ask him, why do we have to ask him? But see, if you ever remember one statement from this message tonight, folks, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but it's laying hold of God's highest willingness. It is not overcoming God's reluctance, and remember, it is laying hold of God's highest willingness. So therefore, folks, there's something how the earth is always tugging at us. Amen. And it's going to be that way if we're carnal. But when we become spiritual, folks, we're going to feel the tug of heaven more than we are going to feel the tug of earth. That's why I want to go to church. I want to pray. I want to read my Bible. I want to talk to God. I want to be what God wants me to be. That's being spiritual. It's being spiritual. Now, the greatest power in the world is prayer. Really. They talk about nuclear power. You know, that's why the devil trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees. That's it. One mark of being spiritual is that you don't go to God as the last resort. You go to God as the very first thing that you do. Well, I'll try to figure this out myself. No. I mean, the devil trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees. And that is why when someone's fighting the flesh and someone's getting cold and someone's being drawn away, amen, from the things of God, folks, that's not the time to just psych it up within yourself. No, find a place to pray and talk to God. I mean, God knows where you are, God knows what you're thinking, and God knows what you're feeling. Now, I remember some years ago when I was preaching revival, and I'm sorry, folks, you know, we would stay in people's homes, and some pastors would want to keep me up till 1:30 in the morning talking, visiting. You know, after 40 years, you know how tired I am of talking to people? After I talk in the pulpit for an hour, then I talk 3 more hours. Oh, but anyway, and sir, really, I like to be in bed by 11. The only time my voice even gets a little bit hoarse is if I'm fatigued, you know? And I said, but this man would keep me up to 1:30. And then he said, I go to the church at 4:30 in the morning and pray. And I want you to come with me. So I said, okay. I mean, we're in this together. You know, let's go. All right. Every morning the alarm went off, 4:15. You know, I'd already been up till 1:30, so I've not even slept for 3 hours. So I go to church. Now, I myself, even though I have to talk in the pulpit, basically I'm a quiet person. I pray quietly. I mean, I really do. I'm just not one of the guys that, pray loud. Everyone has their own style, but I'm just a quiet prayer. But this pastor was a loud prayer. Folks, it's 4:30 in the morning. I'm still fighting sleep. Oh, God, Jesus, bless this revival, Lord, oh, God. But I meant it. But this pastor, he would walk the aisles, and he had oratory like it was a Shakespearean play. He had perfect grammar, perfect sentences. I said, I almost found myself just listening to him because not what he was saying, but how could he do this and put it together so well? But here I am. I'm saying, oh, yeah, Lord, bless. But I meant it. So we did that one morning, 2 mornings, and I'm praying quietly, and he's praying very loudly. It's now the third morning, and he's walking the aisles, and he has his oratory and his Shakespearean prayers, and I'm praying very quietly, and suddenly he stops. And there's dead silence in the church. And know what this pastor said? He said, I can't hear you. Can you believe that? He said that. And know what I said? But I'm not talking to you. And I said it real nice. You know what I'm saying? Folks, the flesh rose up and wanted me to say it sarcastically, but I didn't. All right. I want to say, but really, sir, I'm not talking to you. That's how I said it. So, folks, I'm just happy to see someone on their knees. I'm just seeing someone being God conscious. I'm just seeing someone, folks, who wants to communicate with God. Do you understand? You know, Samuel saw Hannah praying and her lips moved and there were no words that were uttered. And he thought she was drunk. But she had said, but she needed a child. She wanted a baby. He was so earnest. So it's possible. So folks, prayer can be a sincere desire. Folks, it's often inaudible. It can be a sigh, a tear. It can be an upward glance toward God. I mean, it can be the cry of the prodigal. It can be the breath of the soul. Folks, there's so many different styles of this where you can just lift up your face to God, and to God that's communicating, and that's a prayer. So prayer, amen. Prayer, if it's anything at all, it's going to be everything. Now, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 109 and verse 4. Psalm 109 and verse 4. Psalm 109 and verse 4. For my love, in other words, for my love of you, God, they are my adversaries. But this is the key to having a successful prayer life. But I give myself to prayer. Prayer cannot be forced. It cannot be coerced. Amen. Because your pastor's dragging you to an altar. No, I will give myself to prayer. I will give myself. Someone said there's three rules for successful Christian living. Rule number one is pray. Rule number two is pray. Rule number three is pray. That's the key to successful living. I remember preaching at a revival, and a college-age student came in, and got saved. God, you know, really delivered him from some horrible things. He was baptized in Jesus' name, came up out of the water speaking with other tongues. And I went back to that church again, you know, the following year, and he said, "Oh, Brother Mackey, it's so nice to see you and everything." But then he said, "But Brother Mackey," he said, "I just have to ask you something." And I said, "Well, what?" And he said, "You know, this church, you know, has early morning prayer. But," he said, I'm more of a night person." But he said, "They almost make me feel guilty because I don't always make it to every early morning prayer." But he said, "I don't know if they're praying when I'm praying at 11 o'clock at night either." So I said, "They're starting to make me feel guilty." But he said, "Really, Brother Mackey, I'm really praying, but I just," you know, I said, "Well, maybe you can explain that to the pastor." But after that conversation, I've ever since then, I felt, you know what? I don't care if you pray, if you're an early morning person, a late night person, a noon person, just so you're praying, you know, it doesn't have to be at a certain time. But I'm going to give myself to prayer when I do pray. Now let's look at a few scriptures in Psalms, all right? Psalm 5 in our Bibles. Psalm 5. Psalm 5 says, in verse 3, in fact, verse 1, we'll start there. "Give ear to my words, O Lord." I want God to hear me. "Consider my meditation." Hearken. In other words, hear the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." What's interesting about this, you know, is that, now I'm not sure what time the psalmist had in his head when he said in the morning. But I don't do my most serious praying in the morning myself personally. But I always pray in the morning. I don't even want to leave the house. I mean, Sister Mackie and I pray every day, even when we're apart on our cell phones. "God, give your angels charge over us. God, you know what errands we're going to run. You know where I'm going to be in the car. God, I don't want to go through this day without your touch, without your presence, without your blood." In the morning. Like one man, it's good to acknowledge God in the morning. There is a man that I preach for who's going to be at our celebration. He says, "Brother Mackey, I just get up in the morning. I put the coffee maker on automatic. So by the time I get up in the morning, there's a, you know, there's coffee's ready. So he says, I put an empty chair there, and here's my chair, and I just sit down with my cup of coffee. And he says, Jesus is sitting right there. So he says, I just sip my coffee and talk to the Lord a little bit. And I'll say, Lord, this is what's happening. Lord, I need you. Lord, I just wanted to tell you I love you today. I mean, it just seems so casual, but folks, I'm telling you, I could just feel when he was talking to me how important it is to talk to God in the morning. Amen. Like one man said, you know, Lord, I'm having a good day today. Yep, haven't honked my horn at anybody, haven't gotten upset, haven't had any bad thoughts, but I'm getting out of bed in a few minutes. Okay. So I'm going to need your help today, Lord. Having a good day for 5 minutes, okay. Get out of bed, it's a whole new world. All right. Now let's look at Psalm 55 in our Bibles. Psalm 55 and verse 17. Psalm 55 and verse 17. It says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray. How's this? Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God will shall hear and afflict them. Folks, I don't know what battles we might be facing individually, but Lord, at evening and morning and at noon will I pray. I heard a man say, one time, he said, I cannot really remember the last time I prayed 30 minutes solid in a row. But he says, I do know this, I've never gone 30 minutes without praying. You know, folks, I pray driving the car. I just pray walking through a store. I mean, there's something in my mind that just says, oh God, you know. So I don't know how many of you, you know, successfully pray 30 minutes in a row without singing a song or, you know. But yet, folks, I've never gone 30 minutes without praying and without talking to God. So at evening and at morning and at noon will I pray. Now, let's look at the book of Colossians chapter 4 in the New Testament. The book of Colossians chapter 4 in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Literally, it is saying this, be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life, being alert and intent in your praying with thanksgiving. Continue. Be earnest, unwearied, and steadfast in your prayer life. Be not weary in well-doing. Do you know what? Prayer is well-doing. It is well-doing. So whether it's in the evening, in the morning, or at noon, amen, wherever the affection, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, know what I've discovered? Prayer sometimes is not measured so much by length as it is by intensity. Amen. And what you need and what you desire from God. Now let's look in our Bibles, you know, to Psalm 145 and verse 18. Psalm 145 and verse 18. Psalm 145 and verse 18. How come there's no 18th verse of Psalm 145? Sorry, folks. There is? How come? Oh, there it is. Okay. I must be getting older. I mean, I'm looking at this whole... Okay, excuse me. Psalm 145 and verse 18. It says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. All right. To all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Folks, these are beautiful promises to individuals that communicate with God. It's not how loud, it's not how soft. Folks, it's folks, I mean, God just loves to hear people talk to them, talk to him. And I love, and folks, I love to hear God talk to me. Now let's look at Psalm 73. Psalm 73 in our Bibles. Psalm 73, all right, and verse 28. Psalm 73. In verse 28, it says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works." Do you know what? It's good to pray. It's good to get close to God. It's good to come to an altar. It's good to take time, you know, from your busy life, amen, and really talk to God and pray. It is. It is good. Now, it's amazing. Now, I have a lot of books in my library on prayer, and I read about men like Charles Wesley, who prayed 2 hours every day. All right. John Wesley, who would get up at 4 a.m. every morning, but you know what? They didn't have cars, they didn't have phones, they didn't have computers, they didn't have the busyness that we have. All right. I remember taking the religious tour in London, England, you know, one time when I was in London, and I looked and I toured the homes of some of these famous old-timey preachers. And really, and in John Wesley's home, hardwood floors, no carpet, there were actually grooves in the floor where his knees were, and he prayed. All right? Martin Luther prayed 3 hours every day. And if he was busy, he prayed another one or two. All right? A man by the name of the Marquis de Renty, a wealthy man, had servants, but had a relationship with God. He told his servant, he said, "Now listen, I have a busy day today, but I'm going to go talk to God." And he said, "When 1/2 hour is over, please come and get me, because there's things I must do." After 30 minutes, the servant went, knocked on the door, no one answered, knocked again, not loudly, but then he opened the door a crack, and the Marquis de Renty was so lost in the presence of God, he just couldn't disturb him. So after the second 1/2 hour, he went back and knocked on the door. And you know what? Again, the Marquis never came and answered the door. So he opened it again, and the Marquis was still so lost in the presence of God. So he waited another 1/2 hour and went and knocked on the door. Only this time, he called his name and said, "Marquis," he said, "you know, it's time to go." And the Marquis de Renty stood up. He said, "Oh, the 1/2 hour was so short." Have you ever tried to pray 1/2 hour? Let me see. You pray for Brother and Sister Schumacher. You pray for the church. You pray for your wife. You pray for the kids. You pray for the missionaries. You look at your watch, and 4 minutes and 17 seconds have gone by. And I have to be here another 25 minutes and 43 seconds? Oh, Lord. But, folks, it is an exercise. You know that? It really is, and it's work. All right. Now, I don't know how many times you prayed 30 minutes in a row without, you know, without stopping, but don't ever go 30 minutes without praying. There are 667 specific prayers given in this book called the Bible. 667 specific prayers. And there are 454 specific answers that were given. And the other 213, you know, it doesn't say how it was answered or how it wasn't answered. But it lets us know, folks, that this Bible is filled with praying men. Folks, you know what? Jonah prayed in the belly of a fish. I think we'd all pray in the belly of a fish, though. You know, all right. All right. Hagar prayed in the desert. Hezekiah on his sickbed. The thief prayed on the cross. Jacob prayed and Esau's attitude was changed. Joshua prayed, sin was revealed. Hannah prayed, Samuel was born. Elijah prayed, rain was stopped. Hezekiah prayed, 185,000 Assyrians were slain in a moment. Listen, that's why the devil will do everything he can to hinder God's church, amen, from praying. That's why I commend this church. Folks, it's not by accident what happens when a church grows and when there's power and deliverance in a church. And again, folks, you can thank God for this beautiful building, but folks, for the talent you have and for everything that's going on here. But you got to keep going back to the prayer, to the prayer, to the prayer, to the prayer. A man was taking me on a tour, through his brand new building. You know, and he started with the sanctuary. A lot of men that give me tours of their building save the sanctuary till last. But he started in the sanctuary. Then he went, then he took me to the Sunday school rooms. All right, then he showed me the offices. And then he said, Brother Mackey, he said, now I'm going to show you the furnace room. Yeah, he said, you're not going to believe this furnace. And boy, so I was saying, man, yeah, I know I'm not a AC heating man, but I can't wait. I know there's a lot of new things out there. And boy, we come down and it's here, it said furnace room. And we open it up, and here's the prayer room, you know. And he said, this is where we keep the fire burning right here, Brother Mackey. Amen, amen. It's good when the furnace explodes every now and then. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 7. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 7. It says, Isaiah 64 and verse 7, this is God's natural people, the Jew. And there is none that calleth upon thy name. There is none that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hath consumed us because of our iniquities. And when I was looking up, stirreth up himself and to take hold. One translation honestly says it this way. He said, there, and no one calls on your name and awakens and bestirs himself to take and keep hold of you. You know, I wonder sometimes why Paul had a right to even epistles to churches in the New Testament. And it says, it's high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. You know. I was listening to a man on the radio. Man, he was a denominational preacher. But 10 times, I don't know, he was preaching to some congregation. And he said, wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! 10 times, wake up! You know, I've been in a few, I might preach that at some churches I go to, you know. Just stand up there, you know. Winston Churchill gave the 7-word speech, right? Never, never, never give up or something, and sat down. Wake up! Listen, folks, the world has never been as evil as it is right now, and it's getting worse. I just read this article, folks, in the Lansing paper, where they want this to be the generation that stops smoking. All right, all these teenagers, you know, all these college kids. And at the same time, I get the Citizen magazine from James Dobson about marijuana. Folks, when they put the marijuana in those vending machines, folks, in Colorado, folks, and in Oregon, they were empty within 1 hour. Folks, over $27 million. Folks, so stop smoking tobacco, yeah, but smoke marijuana. Folks, this world is so sick. Let's look at the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, and verse 37. Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, all right, in verse 37, it says, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Know what God is saying? God is saying this. The God said, for this also I'm going to let the house of Israel inquire of me to do it for them. In other words, God wants to do things for us. But we need to inquire of him and ask him and bring it to his attention. Amen. So therefore, folks, when there's no fire, there needs to be prayer. When there's no victory, prayer. Folks, when there's no power, prayer. Let's keep our focus on the right things. Folks, nothing's going to substitute for prayer, Amen. All right, for witnessing, all right, and for the word of God. nothing. And in a day of substitutes and falseness and sham and pretense and plastic, I want something real, genuine, amen, from the throne of Almighty God. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? Let's raise our hands and just talk to the Lord who can hear us for a minute before we come to this altar. Right now, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you that you hear us, God. Thank you that you hear us. Thank you that you hear us. Thank you that you hear us. Hallelujah. Because prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. Prayer is laying hold of God's highest willingness. Hallelujah. 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 Whisper a prayer in the morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. Whisper a prayer in the evening to keep your heart in tune. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Why don't we come around this altar a little bit tonight? Whisper a prayer in the morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. Whisper a prayer in the evening to keep your heart in tune. For God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening. So keep your heart in tune, because Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Yes, Lord, I will give myself to prayer. Hallelujah, in the evening and at morning and at noon. God, will I cry unto you. God, encourage every new convert in this church. God, every saint of many years, hallelujah, to value. God, the privilege. Hallelujah, right now, Lord, right now, Lord, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, God, I will give myself. It's not forced. God, it's not something I have to do.